And it's wonderful to be with you tonight and to get to share the word tonight. I am really excited about this particular topic. I call it waiting, the springboard for help. And I thought it was wonderful in the manifestations that God said, there's nothing too hard for me. So one of the things we're going to be seeing is how God is our helper in every single time we have a need. And I've taught some of these things before about waiting on the Lord. What does that mean? And some different keys for it. But tonight I want to really emphasize about how we can receive help. And that comes from Hebrews 4:16 that I'll just read the Aramaic translation for you. It says, therefore, we should boldly come. Like, how? We should boldly come near the throne of his grace to receive mercy or compassion and to find grace for help in time of adversity or time of need. We can come boldly to the throne of his grace to find grace for help. And so that's a key word that I want you to think about tonight. And I'm going to be talking about there'll be different translations, and this study comes from 5 different Hebrew words, which I'm not going to tell you what the Hebrew words are, but I will put them on the summary on the website, so with the Strong's numbers, so that if you want to go look at these words in a deeper way, you can do that. And so the first word is the one that I've talked about before about waiting on the Lord, comes from Isaiah 40 in verse 1. And I'm going to read the NET version of this verse. But those who wait, that this is the word, for the Lord's help, find renewed strength. They rise up as if they had eagle's wings. Well, as if they had eagle's wings, they run without growing weary. They walk without getting tired. This particular Hebrew word means to entwine your heart with God, like a rope where you braid different strands of the rope together, and the more you braid it together, the stronger it is. See, those who wait or entwine their hearts with God, they wait for the Lord's help. They will find renewed strength. As we're waiting and doing this, where we really lock our hearts together with God, it's not just sitting there twiddling our thumbs or going, do-do-do-do-do, maybe someday God will answer me. No, it's like a real heart thing. And there's some questions that I want to ask you as I tell you about each one of these words. And this question is just something to really think about is, where does your power come from? See, if we can rise up with wings as eagles, the eagles don't fret about how they're going to fly. They use the air and they rise up really gently and majestically, actually, but they know where their power is from. So when we entwine our hearts with God, we will find renewed strength. The second word means to be still or be silent. And I want to turn to Psalm 62. This is also something that when you're waiting, what we as human beings, and I think this is true for everyone, and I can speak for myself, is we want to talk about the problem. We want to say what's going on. We want to say, oh, my goodness, this is happening. And we are verbal explaining what the problem is. But God says if you want to wait on him and find help, then you need to be still and be silent. So Psalm 62, verse 1, this is the Amplified version. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my defense and my strong tower. I will not be shaken or disheartened. And then you go down to verse 5. It says, again, for God alone my soul waits in silence and quietly submits to him, for my hope is from him. And that word hope there is like expectation. And when we wait in silence, it's also not really where there's no conversation. We're actually silent about the problem, but we can have a really wonderful conversation with our God, because like he told us in the manifestation, he said, there's nothing too hard for me, and you're never alone. So when we come to him, but we wait in silence and quietly submit to him, that's when we can have the expectation that he will help. He will be our helper in the time of need. So my question to you about this word is, what is your expectation? And both Bob and Jeannie did wonderful teachings on this that you can listen to if you didn't get to hear them on the conference call fellowship, about expectation, because hope is wrapped up in what do we really expect? Do we expect God to help us, or do we really think that we have to figure it all out ourselves? There's a second passage that I want to read, and that's Psalm 37, starting in verse 7. This is the ESV. Again, it says, be still before the Lord. Be silent. Wait in silence. And then it says, wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Restrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. Verse 9. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. That word wait is the first one about entwining your heart with God. So we actually have three different words for wait in this verse, in this passage, because the third word is the one that's translated wait patiently. And it actually has a really wonderful kind of action picture, and that's to whirl or twist. Sometimes it is even translated tremble. And and the idea is that once we're silent and still, then we can be patient and we can tremble at the idea of, Father, show me what is going on. Help me with this. Help me to understand what I need to do. And it's kind of a very awe-filled sort of patience, where it's not, again, where we just are grinning and gritting our teeth and bearing something. But that's why in this passage it talks about fretting not. Because when we're talking about the problem, then it leads to fretting. And I had a simple thing happen to us the other day where we had a gushing water, one of the water filters in our watering station burst. And it was sending geysers up in the air, and I didn't know what to do. And thankfully, my gardener was here, and he was helping to actually try to repair it. And we thought that he got it repaired, and then we turned on the water, and then it started shooting up again. So the first thing that happens is, oh no, we're going to have to do something else. And we already had to turn off the water and figure out how to turn off the water, and that was all these different things. Anyway, I finally just said, okay, Jan, stop fretting. Just don't fret. There is going to be an answer to this. And to take a deep breath and just go, okay, what is the answer? And then it sorted itself out over time. And I just learned another big lesson about not fretting. And so I wanted to share also something really cool that I learned just this past week. And it's from Psalm 91, verse 1. And we've talked and taught a lot of times before about the secret place. And that's the verse. This is King James. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Almighty shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And so, you know, the secret place is the place where God provides his help to us. And it's a place where we can do these things. We can entwine our hearts with his. We can be silent. We can wait patiently. But what I learned was that this word secret place in the Septuagint, which is the Greek Old Testament, is the same word that's used in Hebrews 4:16 for help. And I found this really cool definition of the word help. It's a nautical term for the safety devices for a ship's support, such as ropes. And the secret place is not just a place. It's actually the place of help. It's the place where God becomes the helper. So in the Septuagint translation of this verse, it says, he who stays, like dwells, in the help of the Most High will spend the night under the shelter of the God of heaven. I'll read that again. He who stays in the help of the Most High will spend the night under the shelter of the God of heaven, will abide under the shadow, like a shadow is his shelter. So basically, it's taking those figures about the secret place and the shadow and just translating them as to what they mean. If you live in the secret place, which is the place of help, the place to find grace for help, then we will wait patiently for God to give us his wisdom and his guidance. So my question in this word is, where do you dwell? The fourth word is means to wait continuously. And that passage I want to read is Psalm 33 and verse 17. And this is the NLT, the New Living Translation. It says, don't count on your war horse to give you victory. For all its strength, it cannot save you. But the Lord watches over those who fear him, those who rely on his unfailing love. And this is this word, wait continuously on his unfailing love. He rescues them from death and keeps them alive in times of famine. We put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. Let your unfailing love surround us, Lord. For our hope, our waiting continuously is in you alone. When we wait, not only entwining our hearts and being silent, being patient, but we do it continuously and persistently, then that yields a reliance on God's unfailing love. Because once we've proved that God is faithful to answer our prayers and to stand with us and to provide help for us in our time of need in every situation, then the next time we're in a time of need, we can know that He will strengthen us then too, and He will provide the answers for us then too. Again, He told us in the manifestation that there's nothing too hard for me. I'm the creator of the heavens and the earth, and I'm your Father. And so when we wait on Him, it's not a passive thing. It's a very active thing, waiting continuously. So my question here is, where is your strength? In that passage, there was also another word for wait. This is the last one. In verse 20, and it says, we put our hope in the Lord. I want to read the Amplified of verse 20 of Psalm 33. This word means to wait longingly or earnestly. Our inner selves wait earnestly for the Lord. This is the Amplified. He is our help and our shield. He is our help and our shield. And in the Septuagint, also, again, this word is helper. He is our helper. He's the one who comes to the run of the battle cry and aids in the battle. He's the one who has the role of somebody who's going to render assistance or help. Help in time of need. And when we wait, it's with this longing, earnest waiting so that we can see where is the help come from? Where is it coming from? And when we find it, then we rejoice and joy and give testimony about how great our God is. The last verse I want to read has this word in it. It's Isaiah 30 and verse 18. And at first, this is the NLT again. So the Lord will wait for you to come to Him. So actually, the Lord waits longingly for us to come to Him, just the same way that we can wait longingly for Him. He waits longingly to come to Him so He can show you His love and compassion. The reason He's waiting is so that He can show you His love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for His help, who wait longingly for His help. So my last question is, who is your helper? We can find help and grace. We can find grace for help in time of need because God is faithful. He is a faithful God, and He never, ever leaves us alone. So those are the questions for tonight here. Where does your power come from? You need to entwine your heart with God's and realize that His power, you can be braided together with His power. What is your expectation? Well, be silent and still before our God. Where do you dwell? We dwell in that place, that secret place where God is the helper of our hearts, and that therefore we can wait patiently for Him. And where is your strength? That requires waiting continuously and not counting on our physical strength or the senses view. Don't count on your war horse to give you victory, but lean on and rely on God's unfailing love. And then finally, who is your helper? If we wait longingly to see what God's answers are for our lives, then that's how we can draw near to the throne of grace with great confidence and receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God bless you.
You want to close with prayer, please?
Sure. Father, thank you that your word is just so magnificently awesome. And it's a never-ending source of joy and truth. And every time we look in it, we can learn more and understand more about your gracious love and your mercy and your faithfulness. Thank you that you are our helper and we can come boldly to you whenever there's any kind of need in our lives. And we are so grateful for that and thankful and just want to praise you for that mercy and grace that you have poured out in our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.